Gardening has many benefits and can include connecting with the younger generation. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Our guest, next guest, is Susan Apps Bodilly. She is the author of One Room Schools and also Old Farm Country Cookbook, which she co-authored with her dad, Jerry Apps. And Jerry's been on the show many times with us as well. I think this is Susan's second appearance. Her new book is called Seeds in Soil, Planting a Garden and Finding Your Roots. I've had a chance to read it. It's a really fun book. She's been, by the way, an elementary and middle school educator. She's worked in both rural and urban school districts. She currently teaches second grade. And it's great to have her back. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What did gardening as a child teach you? Have you gotten your own children or maybe somebody else's kids involved in gardening? Love to have you part of the conversation. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Susan, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Larry. It's great. It's my pleasure to see you again. Thank you so much for inviting me back.
Well, this is a great idea for a book. What got you inspired about writing it?
Well, the inspiration for writing a book about gardening was primarily because I've been gardening my whole life. My family has a large garden at our tree farm in central Wisconsin that we've always had tomatoes and potatoes and all sorts of vegetables. I've gardened my whole life. And then in Madison here, we have a small garden near my house where we enjoy tomatoes and a large raspberry patch. And then mostly I've really enjoyed sharing gardening and growing seeds with my students. And we have a beautiful school garden at my school that primarily our art teacher is involved in. And we've got master gardeners that come and work with students at school. And it's been really fulfilling and exciting to see how children are able to engage with nature and each other while being in the garden. And it's just a really great experience. I would encourage any age student or families to get outside and try it if they aren't already doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're speaking of that, the different ages, how would you describe the reader for your book? Who is it written for?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I would say that it's primarily written for younger readers. However, I anticipate that it's really going to be a book that the whole family can use as a resource for gardening, because it's not really just a gardening book. There are many, many opportunities for getting information about gardening online and lots of different kinds of books. So I wanted to write something that was really different. This book it's not just a gardening book. It's also, since it's published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press, there's a large history component where families can discover how to engage in historical thinking. In the beginning of each chapter has a primary source document that encourages families to take a look at and to think about. And then it does also have ways to get started in gardening and what you need to do in order to start a garden. But then it also has, like I mentioned, the history component and other ways you can do projects and theme gardens and ways to encourage pollinators and butterflies. And so it's just a wealth of information that you would use as a resource. So it's intended for younger readers, but I anticipate any age person being able to use it with kids or any age, really. It's not just for kids.
No, and it's definitely not just for kids. I was learning a few things as I read through it as well. I kind of liked the fact that in one section or one part of the book, you included pandemic gardening on the page that talked about victory gardens.
Isn't that interesting? That's an interesting correlation historically. And I actually was writing in started writing the book this summer after I had been teaching online. We went back just fourth quarter here in Madison, and then I was working on the book the next summer. It's interesting. I noticed in that spring during the pandemic, when I would go to a landscaping center to get things, you know, for myself, that everything just sold out immediately. It was kind of like everybody just went back outside because it was safe to be outside and you didn't have to be masked necessarily if you were far away from people. So I feel like the resurgence of gardening and landscaping and flowers and just getting outside hiking and being outside in general and connecting with nature was really important during the pandemic. And I feel like equally for kids who spent most of their school time in front of a screen, that it's really important to get outside and try things away from screens so that they can reconnect with nature and reconnect with other people through nature. So it's interesting that that people were starting more gardening at that time. I agree. I thought that was an interesting historical connection.
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, I was thinking about I purchased some things at the garden center, and then I went back. I made the mistake of
waiting, and then everything was gone.
You know, the things that I wanted, the very specific things that I wanted were already gone. So I learned a good lesson there for sure.
And also in times where people aren't working and need extra food, or if there's other needs financially, I feel like people were willing to grow extra if they were lucky enough to have space. There were areas where people were growing extra food to share, whether in a community garden or through a church or through a community center, that there are ways to advocate for others and help others through gardening and using that as a resource for helping other people.
Yeah.
That's another interesting message.
Ron in Pioneer, Missouri has a comment. Ron, hi.
Two of the things I learned during the grade school years is that those big yellow and black spiders and praying mantis are on our side because they eat insects that also eat the same kind of food, plants that we want to eat. So if they cut down the competition, we get more food into jars for January and February. The second point was here on the farm, I learned that if you keep picking green beans every second or third day, they keep blooming and keep producing more beans as long as you do it. But if you let them mature, the bean pods, and start forming the actual seeds inside, they will die eventually. Now, years later, as an undergraduate at a different big university, the student newspaper headline was, "Plants commit suicide." And tuning it down for college freshmen who aren't botanists or agronomists. And the thing is, when, like livestock, hormones change during different parts of the reproductive cycle. And so obviously once the green bean plant has produced the seeds inside the dry pod and stuff, it dies because it's an annual plant and it's controlled by plant hormones. But if we keep picking them and canning them, it keeps growing and keeps feeding us until the drought kills it. We've had no rain since June 10 down here. So
wow.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Comment, Susan.
It was Ron, right?
Yes.
Thank you for calling, Ron. You brought up a couple really interesting points. The first one was about insects and critters in the garden. And I really appreciate your comments about that because some children still who aren't outside a lot are a little bit intimidated by critters and insects in the garden. And all of those, like you said, there are important insects and critters that we need for gardening, and also worms. And you can teach kids about composting and how important those critters are. So it's interesting to me that you still remember things like praying mantises and how some insects are really important. And then you brought up a good point about beans, because the bean seed is your basic typical elementary classroom lesson with that seed and learning the parts of the seed and how they grow. And beans grow pretty quickly inside a classroom. So I've always, almost every year, I've planted beans with students so they can watch them grow. So thank you for your comments about that.
And you kind of address the insect thing and so forth in the book.
I do. I talk a little bit about insects and which ones are helpful and which ones you might. Well, at our large farm garden, we tend to have a potato bug issue some years. So we find ourselves walking down the rows and just picking them off. And they can do damage to your crop if you're not careful. So insects are something to learn about when you're gardening. But I also wanted to mention that you don't need to have, he mentioned being an agronomist or a biologist, but you don't need any fancy titles to be a gardener. You can buy a package of seeds and put them in soil and just see what happens. Because part of the process is just really enjoying the growing and getting your hands in the soil and just seeing what happens. It doesn't have to turn out right every time. And that's part of the fun, that sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes things get eaten up and sometimes it's just not quite right, but it's still, the process is what's fun with gardening.
Yeah, enjoy the process. And Susan Apps Bodeli, is a teacher and author, and she's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today as we talk with her about her new book. It's called Seeds in Soil, subtitled Planting a Garden and Finding Your Roots. Susan Apps Bodeli, our guest today, and she'll be with us again, as I said, right up till 12:30. You can join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back right after this look at the news and finding out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. Talking about gardening with children on the show today. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Susan Apps Bodeli, our guest today, back with us. She's a teacher, author, and her new book is called Seeds in Soil, Planting a Garden and Finding Your Roots. So do you garden with youngsters in your life? Do you teach your kids about gardening at an early age? Questions, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And callers online, let's take some calls. Tyrone in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
My friend, good afternoon, Larry.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Susan. Good afternoon, Wisconsin and Milwaukee and surrounding areas. Glad to be in your presence once again. Tyrone W. speaking, northwest side of Milwaukee. I don't know if this is in your wheelhouse or not, Susan, but you say you're a teacher, but it concerned me when I was listening at this, and just as I spoke to Jill, and I was saying, here in Milwaukee on 9th and Ring, we have a fellow named Andre Lee Ellis that has something similar to the garden there, I guess he calls it there. But I don't hear anybody asking for seeds, though. I was wondering, because I love cantaloupe and honeydew melon, so I mean, I have given some over time to people I know. But sometimes I have so many, I just don't know what to do with them. I'd rather see the schools or someone take these seeds, which means more people will eat the finished product, as opposed to these seeds winding up in the landfills. Can you help us get to a point to where we can donate our seeds to people and the youngsters that are willing to do something with them so we all can enjoy the finished product then?
Yeah, thank you, Tyrone, for calling. Susan?
Tyrone, I'm so glad that you called in, because isn't that a marvelous idea that you are so thoughtful? You are exactly right that getting seeds into the hands of kids so they can try growing them is a really great idea. And things like melons are so delicious that the primary purpose of gardening, of course, is to get to eat what you grow. And so that's a really great idea. You know, Tyrone, I would advise you to go ahead and get a hold of maybe somebody from Extension near Milwaukee, and find out if there's a way that you could save your seeds or get some kids interested in gardening by working with students. There actually are people who are doing those kinds of things where they're trying to save seeds and they're making things like seed banks and saving, especially heirloom seeds. They're doing things where they're trying to get seeds that are special saved. And you can also save flower seeds. We save our lupin seeds and give them to our friends and neighbors. And I think you have a marvelous idea that you should pursue. It's a really great idea.
Yeah, and the Milwaukee County Extension Office, if you get a hold there, there are master gardeners there. There's an extension horticulture specialist there. And you can find that under Milwaukee County, County of, you'll find the extension. Well, if you just type it in, Milwaukee County Extension, it's going to pop up on your search engine. Trish in Belleville. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. I have a couple of gardening anecdotes. I grew up gardening, big family, 8 kids. So our mother was a avid gardener, and I can still see the oval tan on her back where her shirt would go up and her pants would go down. And that was the most tan part of her body. And being little, that's what I saw. And we did all sorts of vegetables. We did zinnias and bachelor buttons always make me think of my mom, which is just a great, great memory. Another story, just so people know there's other benefits to gardening. I was 15 and I liked this boy, but we had a rule. You couldn't go out until you were 16. And my mother said, well, if this boy will come over and help me dig this row of potatoes, then you guys can go out. So lo and behold, he came over. Those potatoes were never dug so fast. And years later, he and I got married.
Oh, what a marvelous story, Trish. Go ahead, comment, Susan. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Trish. And what you just did with your two marvelous anecdotes was exactly what I mentioned in one little section of the book, the Finding Your Roots section. I think it's really, really incredible to be able to hear stories just like you just shared with us. And I really encourage anybody of any age to talk to somebody and ask them if anyone in their family ever gardened and what. Ask them questions like, what did you garden and how did you preserve that? And what memories do you have of other people in your life in the garden? You mentioned zinnias, and I also have that exact memory of zinnias being grown in the kitchen garden of my dad's mother's garden. And that's why I plant zinnias in my garden today. Every year, we have a big section of zinnias that I can bring into the house. And I also have a similar memory with my grandma being in the garden where she would pick peas and in her apron, and she would hold up the corners of her apron and fill it with peas, and she used her apron to carry them into the house that way, the ones that we didn't eat while we were just standing there right in the garden. Chris, thank you for your excellent example. That's exactly the kind of story that I'm hoping to encourage families to tell each other while using this book.
Yeah, absolutely. My mind went immediately to hollyhocks because my mom always had hollyhocks along the edge of the garden. And I remember my grandmother also putting the peas in her apron and carrying them back to the house. And you know, you in your book, you weave this history. Not only some of your own family, but then other histories as well and backgrounds and for a number of groups, which I really found interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Larry, for bringing that up. I wanted to encourage people by when they read the book to understand that gardening and raising food for eating has been a part of many, many different cultural backgrounds throughout our history and even before Wisconsin became a state. People were always needing to eat. So growing food is just part of our history for a very, very long time, beginning with, you know, Native peoples who were here before Wisconsin was a state. So it's interesting to think about how growing food is connected to our past. I just think it's a really interesting idea and a way to help families connect with their own family history then when you stop and think about it.
Let's go. Susan in Burlington. We'll give you a chance. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Susan. Susan, I'm really looking forward to reading your book. And sort of serendipitously, I was in the community garden and got into the car and heard the story. And my garden is a 4,000 square foot garden that my friends and I take care of. And all the food goes to a local food pantry. And each spring, what we do is we host a planting day. And a local school walks over with their fifth grade class. And we put in, this year it was 34 rows of plants. And they're just like little busy beavers all planting. And we have to show them which side's up and things like that. But we hope that by doing it, that we're making them lifelong, not only volunteers, but gardeners. But I have one really cute story. When I was getting ready for them to come, I had to move a tarp, and it was just like loaded with little snakes. And so I moved the snakes over towards a pond. And the kids were overstanding right where I had released the snakes. And I said, oh, look for the snakes. I just put about 10 snakes over there. And half of the group ran away. And the other half of the group ran towards the pond where the snakes were. So they learn not to be afraid of things like that, too, when they're part of the garden.
Susan, thank you so much for calling. Comment, Susan?
Yeah, Susan, what great timing. That sounds like a wonderful service project. And I imagine that look forward to that, just being outside and taking a look at what happens when their seeds grow, and knowing that this is a service project and they're doing something for others is just really important as social emotional skills we teach in school, just knowing that they're helping other people. And what you said about the snakes, I am not afraid of snakes or critters at all, really. And I really encourage, if there's a spider in my classroom, I literally pick it up and take it outside. And to teach kids not to be afraid of these critters. When you said that you found a book, I was wondering what you were going to say about whether the kids were interested or not. So that's probably about right, half and half. And it doesn't go by gender either, because I know a lot of students of any gender are interested in critters. So that's just, what a great accidental lesson for your gardening day.
Thanks, Susan. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Or you could email to ideas@wpr.org. Jocelyn emailed. She's a teacher, just spent the morning with kids in their school garden for a summer school class. So wonderful to see the joy and curiosity that young children experience in the garden. Plus, the garden is a great springboard for exploring nature and all kinds of topics, from insects to birds to healthy eating. And so she says, thanks for addressing a topic that's near and dear to me. And I think you give, within your book, you give a lot of springboards for conversation. And sometimes at a history level, excuse me, sometimes at a history level, I saw the tall tale postcards with the strawberries that look
strawberries. Yeah, there was a time in history where postcards were very popular to be sent, obviously, little penny postcards. I have a picture of a postcard that was sent to my grandpa by his sister. And then there's also a postcard, there was an image from the Historical Society Press that shows giant strawberries on rail cars, sort of promoting Wisconsin's agricultural benefits and how great our soil is with our water here. So it's just really entertaining to think about how fun gardening is. It's not just a place for lessons, like Jocelyn just said in her email. I'm so glad she's doing a summer gardening program with kids. I was just at my school on Monday with our art teacher who's running a summer program, and the group that was there, they just are so, it's interesting, as adults, we forget how curious and fascinating everything is to younger learners, even things like worms and how things can vine up and grow and attach by itself to trellises. And there's just so many little things that we take for granted that's how things grow, but kids really haven't learned it yet. So pretty much everything in a garden is really fun and exciting for kids.
And I, you know, I'm just back to that postcard for a minute. I thought, what a nice little story, because you turn that into a little history lesson about, you know, the fact that rural free delivery, or RFD, began, you know, when it began back in 1896 or whatever it was, and the whole business of people actually, farm people actually getting mail delivered right to their door practically, as opposed to having to go to town to pick it up, which was the case before.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's like you mentioned, it's good to have a little bit of history as a trip for learning a little lesson. It sort of snuck in there. So that's, I do have little sidebars throughout the book with little bits of history, and they have different sorts of primary source documents, not just pictures, but a poem from a victory garden. There's a poem from what was a teacher guide from the 1940s. It mentioned gardening. And then I have a piece of music that's the song Oats and Peas and Barley Grow that was actually in the piano book that my mother had when she was a child. So it's interesting to think about history and how gardening topics and plants have been incorporated in lots of different places. And then I included some images of victory gardens from World War I and World War II. So there's lots of history in here as well as just how to garden.
And there was one that caught my eye too, the Hmong family garden. You have and then that gave you a chance to talk a little about the history of Hmong families, because they're great gardeners.
Right. Thank you. Yeah. And I work with a coworker who gave me the recipe for the pork belly rib meat and collard greens, because that's something that's very special to his family. So I was really, really thankful and grateful to be able to include his recipe in the book, as well as about 11 other recipes that sort of go with each chapter. I ended each chapter with a recipe that kind of correlates to the topic of the chapter. So it's interesting to think about different cultures and the importance of gardening for their culture.
And there are some great garden projects in the book. Maybe talk a bit more about those projects, and what does working on those projects teach kids too?
Yeah, so in the book I have the first part of the book talks about the different kinds of soil in our state and why there are different kinds of soil related to the glacier that was here. And there's a project about making, and everything is very hands-on and with easy materials. There's nothing expensive to buy. But you can make a soil shaker where you put some soil in it and add some water, and you can shake it up and let it silt back down so you can take a look at the different kinds of soil and rocks and things that are part of your soil. And then if your soil isn't good necessarily for plants, there's a composting project where you can learn which ingredients would be good for composting and how compost decomposes down into soil and how you can add that to your soil. And then there is just lots of extra projects like theme gardens and planting a garden based on your favorite toys, or maybe a dinosaur garden or something, finding plants that start with the letters of your name and then planting those in a garden, or just maybe something related to what you like to eat. If you want pizza toppings, you can plant things, herbs and things that would go on a pizza, or ingredients for salsa bowl garden. And I also show how to make a rain gauge, because obviously water is important for a garden, and how to keep track of how much rain you've gotten. And of course, just journaling and observing. There's some examples of how to set up a garden journal for kids. So there's just many, many things to try. And kids, I imagine kids would be able to pick it up and use it over the course of a few summers and pick different activities to try based on what they're interested in eating and what they think they'd like to grow.
And their age, you know.
And their age, yeah. And as you get older and you're better at using tools, you could build something. You could build, you know, a birdhouse or a raised garden, or plotting out your space to scale, or measuring and using actual, you know, more more dangerous tools to go ahead and build a raised garden or something that you would need adult help with when you're younger.
I've had a number of people say, I've had a number of people ask for the, again, we've mentioned it a few times, but I want to mention the title of the book again so people
know. Yeah, thank you.
And the title of the book is Seeds in Soil. And that's the main title, Seeds in Soil. And then the subtitle is Planting a Garden and Finding Your Roots by Susan Apps Bodilly. And, of course, it's published by Wisconsin Historical Press.
Society Press, correct.
So, and I imagine it's available most anywhere.
Yes, any of your favorite independent bookstores, or you can order it through the Wisconsin Historical Society Press store on their website. Mm-hmm. Yeah, any place. Was available starting in April, but I'm just now, since school is over, doing a little promoting and getting people to learn a little more about the book. I'm really excited. It's a beautiful book. It's very visually appealing. There's lots of pictures. The front is a good size for kids and families, and it's just a really pretty book also. It's a fun book to sit and page through.
And I like the fact, I mean, you've got a lot of sort of present day photos in there of the gardens and so forth and some of the people. But there are also a lot of photos from years back that bring the history part of it to life, too.
Right. And kids really like looking at those old black and white pictures. They notice right away, of course, that they're in black and white, but then they enjoy looking at the clothes and what shoes kids are wearing and how their hair is styled. And I like the picture. I have included a picture of a little person in an old wheelbarrow. And it's fun to think about how some things have not changed, but and what things have stayed the same. But then to think about how gardening is still somewhat the same, in that we're still planting seeds and raising vegetables and finding ways to preserve them for the winter. And so some things haven't changed. And so I think it's interesting to think about over the course of time how gardening has changed or stayed the same.
And yeah, and it's always fun. Just looking at the older pictures, it always makes me think about what were those individuals like, or what was that couple like? Or there's one with an old photo of a guy with enormous cabbage, I think.
So that's another one that we were wondering if in the olden days, we say that they could have photoshopped that enormous cabbage in there again to promote Wisconsin gardening and agriculture, that it may have not been real. So it's interesting to think about how we in the early days even were sort of goofing around with photography and trying to make things larger than life.
Well, it looks like, I can't tell, the other might be a turnip or something, or a beet maybe.
Larger than normal, that's for sure.
Looks like a bowling ball almost. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Susan. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really like your book, and I hope a lot of people get a chance to buy it or read it, and certainly for schools, but also just for your own home and your own kids or grandkids. I think it's great. Susan, thank you.
Yeah.
Her book is, again, titled Seeds in Soil, Planting a Garden and Finding Your Roots, the author Susan Apps Bodilly. And it was great to have her with us today to talk about it. That's always, always a lot of fun. Tomorrow on the show, Daniel Golden from Boswell Book Company is back with 20 books he recommends for your summer reading list. So I hope you can join us for that from 11 to 12:30. And stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.